So this story's been knocking around for a couple of days now of the pay review body, which decided that MLAs should have their salaries boosted by £1,000. This is part of today's news agenda. The pay is due to rise from £49,500 to £50,500 under rules set by that body. It's called the Independent Financial Review Panel. But what does this actually show us in Northern Ireland? It shows us that our political parties can unite, they can come together, they can make decisions really, really quickly when they feel that there's a public momentum demanding them to do so. So when I got up this morning, I wondered to myself, well, now that they've demonstrated that they can reject their own £1,000, what about they actually make the much tougher decisions in Northern Ireland? So remember this New Dawn, New Deal agreement that we, as the citizens of this country, have all been promised? We're going to get roads, we're going to get infrastructure, the nurses are going to get their pay rise, there's going to be enough money to educate our kids. Well, how are they going to pay for it if they have instantly ruled out water rates? They have instantly ruled out tuition fees. Are they just going to put those hard political decisions on the never-never, push them into some type of abyss and pretend that we're not in the real world? Mick Fealty from Slugger O'Toole is with us this morning. Good morning to you, Mick.
Morning, Stephen. Welcome back.
Thank you very much. And the commentator, Amanda Ferguson. Good morning, Amanda.
Good morning, Stephen.
Nice to talk to you too. Well, Mick, what do you reckon? Like, what are they doing? Are they pretending they've just got these big wads of cash when they don't?
Well, I think, first of all, I think they've been played a little bit by the UK government, who clearly implied they were going to get more money than they thought. And it sort of caused them to to relax a little bit and think that that extra money was going to be able to pay for everything. Now, when they've looked at the books and they've looked at the quantum that Johnson's made available to them, it's simply not going to be enough to do all the things that needs to be done.
Now, you know a lot more about politics than I do, and you've been around a lot more corners than I have. So I wonder if I should be pushing back quite hard on you when you say they've been played a little bit, because that could suggest that they actually thought that they didn't notice that the figures were not in that deal when they agreed it. I would put it to you that they knew the figures weren't in that deal, and it's quite possible they were so terrified of an assembly election down the track that they took the gamble. So that's not being played. They took the gamble and lost. So now it's their responsibility to deliver the promises somehow.
Look, they haven't lost. They've got their jobs back. They have 2 years now to create at least the impression to the voters that they're going to be responsible and they're going to fix some of the things that the voters have now, certainly through the December election, expressed their extreme displeasure at their non-appearance for the last 3 years. But I think what we're heading back to, unfortunately, when you see them going back to work on Monday, what you see is a kind of a moving back to the old reflexes of trying not to do anything that causes them any damage. But in that, and with the kind of the time that we've lost, 3 years, that's three budgetary years that we've lost. Inflation will have affected all kinds of capital projects like Casement Park, the Casement Park project, so that we're actually, whatever extra money goes in, they're still always going to be that little bit short. And what's staring them all in the face is they're going to have to start making tough decisions.
Exactly.
About expenditure, which they've been managed to avoid for most of the last 20 years, either by blaming Westminster or sending things like welfare reform back to Westminster and just not dealing with it. And I think that option is now gone.
So Sinn Féin want an Irish language commissioner. How are you going to pay for it? Arlene Foster is talking about this Ulster Scots commissioner. How are you going to pay for it? And is that coming before our roads and the education of our kids? If there's a magic money tree, where's it coming from? Why did Sinn Féin immediately rule out water rates? Because would that not have paid for some of these other strategic things that they want as a party? Why has Sinn Féin ruled out tuition fees? Why didn't they sit down and discuss it with the DUP? And where, Amanda Ferguson, is this money that is part of the promise that was made to us in Northern Ireland that we would get everything in that deal? Where's the money coming from?
Well, I think that the new approach deal was very much a take it or leave it deal from the British and Irish government. The way it was positioned, the way that it was introduced into the public domain, did bounce the parties into, you know, accept this or that's it.
Or there's an election. They allowed themselves to be bounced.
Yeah, and I think that when it comes down to money, the parties are relatively limited in what they can do to raise their own money. And I think that whenever you're sort of talking to party insiders like the likes of Sinn Féin, they would want their own fiscal powers to try and raise money that way. And I think that their view is that the water charges and the tuition fees are sort of old attempts or old conversations about where to raise money, whereas someone like Alliance, and I think they've been pretty public on the record about the fact that they may be, as DUP, wanted a conversation about water charges. But I think that one way that they could look about more money is perhaps about the vast duplication of services that we have in Northern Ireland and where money could be saved that, in that way, which would actually help with society sort of cohesion as well.
Or, as unpopular as it's going to make me this morning to raise the prospect of it, maybe some of us who have the ability to pay need to be paying water rates. Maybe some of us who have the ability to be pay need to be paying tuition fees. But for these political parties to wipe it out and then promise us that New Dawn, New Deal list of deliverables that citizens in this country have been told that's what we're getting. Well, I'm sorry, we're not getting it if we don't have the money.
Well, there is the argument on means testing and on occasions whenever this has been brought up before, I think around transport, the argument back has been that to try and sift out the people who would pay from those who wouldn't want to pay or who can afford to pay would actually cost money in the process of doing it. But certainly the politicians do have to consider that we're in 2020 now. It's been made very clear that the British government isn't going to stump up the money that is required. So there will have to be creative conversations. But I think you only have to look at what happened across the border whenever they tried to introduce water charges. And I'd imagine there's enough strength of feeling amongst the public that they would resist that as much as possible because they already feel as if they're paying for water through their rates.
So why did they do the deal, Mick Fieldy? What were they so terrified of? Those two big political parties, they're well seasoned enough to have stood back and insisted on hard figures before they did that deal, and they chose not to do so.
Well, I think there's two slightly different motivating factors for both. One, on the DUP side, they'd lost all their political patronage and power in Westminster, and really the Assembly was the only game in town for them to stay relevant for their own voters. I think for Sinn Féin, it's very clear, although many of us didn't expect it to come up quite so quickly, that getting Stormont off the political agenda really quickly before the Southern general election happened, I think that was it. Would each of them suffered much damage? I think yes, but on a very limited basis. I think this was purely opportunistic on both parts. So I don't think we should exaggerate the degree of fear. But you know, as Amanda says rightly, there, Sinn Féin have been asking for additional fiscal powers for a long time. But water rates is a fiscal power in the sense that where it sits at the moment is we are paying for water, though many people don't actually seem to realise that we do. It's a very expensive commodity. Yes, it comes down and it's free when it falls, but then there's a massive industrial process that is involved in cleaning that water, distributing in that water, making sure that the distribution networks are all clean and sterile. And that's all paid by a precept on the rates, which is, by and large, invisible to ratepayers in Northern Ireland. The advantage of putting it on a separate rate is that you take it out of the public sector requirement and you take it out of the Barnett formula, because within the Barnett formula, that's a replication of what gets spent in England and Wales. And in England and Wales, Scotland, water rates are paid for separately by householders. So in doing that, you would free up a lot of cash from the money that gets automatically transferred. And I say not a huge amount, not billions, but certainly hundreds of millions. And that would begin to ease up pressures on things like the ending of the welfare reform stuff that means that there hasn't been any bedroom tax for the last 2 to 3 years.
I'm interested in your views at home about this. I am not in any way suggesting a question around some of the lowest paid or the poorest in our society having to pay tuition fees or water rates. I'm talking about why is it not even being contemplated by these political parties that there might be some times of mean testing, some type of means testing for the likes of tuition fees. 030 30 80 55 55. And I'm questioning whether today's news story actually is about, you know, the fact that the politicians are turning down £1,000. Here we are talking about £1,000 for each of them. And meanwhile, we are hundreds and hundreds of millions of pounds missing for delivering the promises within that New Dawn, New Deal document. So there is no New Dawn. There is no New Deal if there's no money to pay for it. Peter in Belfast, first call of the day. Morning, Peter.
Well, I think it's great, Stephen, that they can give £1,000 back, but I think it was that lady there, one of our party members there, and John O'Dowd, during week, I was laughing in the paper, they put expenses in, one for a loaf of bread and one for something else, you know, to get, and you just wonder, we all go to work, and it'd be great if I could go into work and claim £1 if I had to make sandwiches to take to work with me. And I think it's embarrassing the way they get on, you know what I mean?
Come on, that's small beer, isn't it? What you're having to pop them about. It is small beer. You're having a go. So if someone can legitimately claim for something on expenses, we have bigger things to argue about, Peter, haven't we?
Well, no, but don't, because at the end of the day, it's coming from the government. It's the government's paying the money back. If you have them doing that every day and it's cost £1,000, it's £1,000 a day all round that the government's having to pay out. They're on £45,000 a year, and the tariff will have to...
Are they seriously going to get away with having looked at it, negotiated a deal on our behalf, told us about all the promises that were in that document, and now we're supposed to forget about our promises, the things that were promised to us? Are we supposed to forget about it and just accept that, oh, they didn't negotiate the money that they needed to deliver it on our behalf? And Julian Smith just didn't happen to mention that he wasn't giving it to us.
Well, it's quite obvious they should have learned from Arlene Foster and Boris Johnson what the Conservatives are capable of. So instead of just, as we would say over here, stroked Arlene Foster, they stroked all the parties this time round.
Or have the people that have been stroked us? Have we all been stroked? Do we actually think there's a new dawn when there's no money to pay for it? I say no money, by the way. There's a billion of extra money with a bill of promises that would cost somewhere between 4 and 5 billion. There's a billion of Barnett consequences. The billion I talk about of new money is new money that wasn't otherwise coming anyway. When you hear Julian Smith and the NIO firing out these press releases talking about £2 billion, it's not £2 billion of new money. It's nowhere close to it. That spin. Jim and Armagh. Well, morning, Jim.
Morning, Stephen. I don't know, these billions, where are they going? You know what I mean? It's not that long ago that they got a billion and a half, confirmed by Emma Littlepin-Gelly, that the DUP supposed to have got of the British government. Where did it go?
Well, there's talk that some of the actual money that we're now getting is part of that money.
I know, but did they get it?
Most of it was spent, but there's 240 million unspent. So when you hear about the new money that Julian Smith's firing out in press releases, some of that's old money.
I don't know, where is it? Where is it? I hear the bees, I see no honey. There's nothing on the ground here, mate.
The bottom line is, you had politicians. The bottom line, Jim, is that you had politicians, either rightly or wrongly, it's for you lot to decide. And they made the choice to do a deal without hammering out the financials behind it. If you listen very carefully to the interview I did with Jeffrey Donaldson on the day of the deal, he said on air that the night before he had gone into the NIO and he had said, we need the figures behind this. They didn't get them and they went ahead with the deal anyway. What type of negotiators are they?
Wait a minute. This time last year, I was ringing you to ask you whether it was a billion or a billion and a half. You kept saying a billion. Everybody else was saying a billion and a half. That's a lot of money. That's a hell of a lot of money. Where did it go?
And
it was not here.
And meanwhile, in the absence...
There's nothing to show for it.
And meanwhile, in the absence of enough money to deliver on the New Deal document, here we are on a news agenda talking about, aren't the MLAs great for turning down £1,000 each in a pay rise? What about the hundreds of millions that they were supposed to have negotiated on our behalf? Where is it? That's the story this morning.
I don't see it. It's not on the ground here. I have a road, the grass growing up the middle of it. He thought they were going to fix the whole road there. I'd say they put $2 of tarmac. That was the way. It's gone. That's it. It's finished. Live it. Enjoy it.
Well, what would you rather have? Would you rather have your roads fixed or an Ulster Scots commissioner? Because this is going to come down to hard choices.
At the present time, I'd rather have the road fixed.
Well, you're going to get an Ulster Scots commissioner and you're going to get an Irish language commissioner being able to tell you that in Irish that your road has a pothole in it. But the pothole won't be fixed.
Well, that's it. I would like to know in Irish what the word is for a pothole.
Well, if you ring up the government department in charge of roads, you'll be able to get the conversation turned into Ulster Scots. You'll be able to get the conversation turned into Irish language, but you won't get the bloody pothole fixed.
Look, Stephen, there's only one word that describes this here in all languages, and it's cha-ching. I don't see the money. I don't see it. It's not being spent around here anyway. And it probably never will be spent around here. And another wee thing, I was told the other day, there's 50, 60 wind turbines here waiting to go up. Men have planned permission and all for it.
Well, listen, let's not get into wind turbines today. We're not going to get into that territory. The former Sinn Féin MLA, Dáil Mackay, with us today. Good morning to you, Dáil.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. And Alan McQuillan, former member of the Independent Financial Review panel. Morning to you, Alan.
Morning.
I do think it's a side story today, the MLA salaries. But how have we got to that position, Alan, where this independent pay review body panel is now being questioned? They're supposed to be arm's length. And the politicians are actually saying you screwed up here by giving us a pay rise, proposing one.
Well, basically what happened was when we last existed at the start of 2016, we came to the end of our contracts, we published our determination for this assembly, and within that there was an escalator for pay, which meant that because it had to last for 5 to 6 years, the deal was each year, if inflation has risen, you get 1%. And that, as it turned out, is exactly the same as the pay raises that have gone into the civil service and exactly the same as the pay raises that the average people in Northern Ireland have got over that period. But because they were out of office for 3 years, then suddenly all of this is ratcheted up and they've all got up in one lump.
And does this now set a new precedent if you basically have the politicians able to say, look, you've screwed up here?
Well, I mean, basically, we haven't screwed up on anything. We produced a deal, we consulted on it, they all signed up to it, and indeed they praised us afterwards for the very constructive way we had approached the whole process. And then suddenly, 3 years down the line, they get into a political row and they turn and they try and blame us for it. We also recommended at that time that they needed to look at the future of this panel and create a completely independent body to decide on the pay and pay the pay as well, you know, because of the problems there have been in that.
You know, McFeely, I'm being slightly facetious this morning, but why change the habit of a lifetime? Maybe we would want to be paying politicians, you know, $100,000 a year more if we could actually find politicians that wouldn't do one of the biggest deals, financial deals with the British government ever to have happened in this country without any finances spelt out in it.
Well, you know what they say, you pay peanuts, you get monkeys, but you know, $50,000 for the average person in Northern Ireland is a hell of a lot of money, and it goes a very long way because the economy in Northern Ireland is also quite cheap to live in compared to the other parts of the United Kingdom, and certainly in comparison with the Republic. But at the end of the day, it's got nothing to do with how much you pay politicians. It's to do with how motivated politicians are to get their job done, and that involves taking risks. The strange thing about Northern Ireland is that we have the most feather-bedded political classes in the whole of these islands. There's almost, because we have no opposition, again, bar the Bowl Jim Allister, who kind of sitting in the naughty corner making everything difficult for everybody by asking difficult questions. So there's no real political challenge to any of them. And that should have made them bolder, but it's actually made them very fearful of what the public might do to them, to the point where they're scrambling to get rid of £1,000 £1,000 a year is nothing compared to the major responsibilities they've got, as you've rightly enumerated. That's the bigger story here.
Totally. This is a sideshow this morning. This £1,000 a sideshow. The big news story at the moment should be, where's the money? And there should be pressure on Julian Smith. Why hasn't he delivered it? What did we should be getting into the very specifics of what the Secretary of State did and didn't promise and didn't hint that we, the citizens, would get out of that deal. And Sinn Féin and the DUP and those other political parties should be getting robustly challenged about how on earth, like if a kid walks in to try to get a job in Tesco's or a petrol station, the first thing they'll say is, how much money am I getting to make this agreement? Our political parties walked in to one of the biggest deals that Northern Ireland's going to face and didn't nail down the money, Dathi Mackay. And now Sinn Féin are saying, we're not raising extra revenue to pay for these promises in water rates. Dathi, we're not raising extra revenue to pay for it in tuition fees. So where are they getting the money from for the Irish Language Commissioner?
Well, it's always a big question, Stephen. And to be fair to all the executive parties at early days, and we need to see how they're going to meet these challenges head-on in the programme for government and what the executive priorities are. I think, to be positive, the parties have got off to a decent start compared to the last Assembly term, where the parties were very much divided. There had been a string of joint party statements that have come out in regard to the issue of MLA pay, and hopefully that is a sign of good cooperation over the next 2 years. So I think that's what the public really wants to see, and will create the context for making those difficult decisions that the others have referred to. But I do think that the MLA pay is an important issue, because it needs to be seen in the wider context of other public service workers who have been challenging to have their pay increased in line with inflation. So I don't think necessarily that because you're a politician that you should automatically get a pay raise in line with inflation when other public service workers do not have that guarantee.
What I'm saying this morning, what I'm asking about this morning, Dathi, is while we've got all of this news focus on £1,000, whether a politician gets £1,000 or not, you know, are the kids getting the tens of millions of pounds that New Dawn, New Deal document promised for their education? Are our hospitals getting the money that we need to reduce not just the waiting list promise that was within the New Deal for those people already on a waiting list, but for the next generation of patients that will be getting onto that list today and tomorrow and the next day? Where is the money?
We don't know what the executive are going to propose yet, but I think that there are a lot of options that they need to come to some sort of agreement
on. They've ruled out two main ones. They've ruled out tuition fees and they've ruled out water rates.
Exactly. So they need to find, I think Amanda did flag up a good option in terms of duplication of services and duplication of capital buildings within our different sectors. I think that is a challenge that the executive really does need to get the grips with. And in terms of health, the problem there is that our population is getting older. So that challenge is going to get tougher. And they really need to get a look at how they can implement the likes of the Bengola report much, much quicker now that we've had a 3-year delay in that area as well. So there are big challenges ahead. And also, in terms of the programme for government and what they've indicated will be added to the programme for government, they also have to develop economic development, not in a traditional way, but within the context of global challenges in terms of they're now quite overt the goal of trying to lower carbon emissions. So doing all of that leads to extra circles that the executive needs to square, and we need to see exactly how they're going to do it and fast.
Amanda? Sinn Féin have been talking, haven't they? I think you touched on this, of extra fiscal powers. For example, Sinn Féin would want to tax the most rich in our society, wouldn't they? But that's not going to happen anytime soon.
Look, I think that the public is very live whenever it comes to conversations over money, which is why this £1,000 thing has become a big issue. I think that the RHI overspend money was an indication that public, who may not necessarily be interested or across all the detail of politics, whenever people talk about money, they know what the crack is. And I think that the public are aware that the British government are holding the purse strings in this scenario. So in many ways, the fact the new approach deal is the government deal, gives the politicians a little bit of cover. But I was talking to a guy yesterday, not particularly interested in politics, and he said that the £1,000 pay issue did raise his eyebrow. Now, my first thought whenever I heard about it is, what are they expected to do? It's a panel that decides.
Yeah.
For me, it's a big issue is wages here. We get paid less than our neighbours over the border and elsewhere. The really big issue is the living wage and what people here, many or most people, are expected to live on. Now, the night of the new approach deal, whenever that was brought to the table by the government, you know, ahead of that happening, business, farmers, unions, I went in for a meeting to give them the sort of push to say, you know, go for this and we'll back you discussion. The key issue that was highlighted by the unions, aside from the emergency issues around industrial action and so on, was low pay, was pay justice. And I think it's sometimes easier whenever it comes to nurses, we know they're NHS angels, to of course give them more money. But whenever it comes down to civil servants, people are like, well, what do they actually do? You know, do they just push pens, papers around desks? Where civil servants are actually doing a really crucial job in our society, and there just hasn't been that same level of sort of public support for them, which I think should come in. But for me, if Alan's still there, I'd love to ask about this.
He's gone. He's just gone.
Because the independent body, I'm not sure that the tenure for that wasn't extended like the other public bodies were during the absence of the executive, and I'm just wondering what the actual process is around that. Now, some MLAs may wonder, was it done on purpose to make them look bad in the first couple of weeks of the Assembly?
Listen, we've got to leave it there, but Amanda, thank you. Mick, nice to talk to you as always. Dahi, thank you. Alan McQuillan, thank you. Load your calls in this, 03030 80 55 55. So just before we head into the news, I'm asking you, do you think you've been hoodwinked? You've been sold, hoodwinked. You've been sold this this New Dawn, New Deal, and this whole list of proposals and promises within that deal, and now they tell us we don't have the money to pay for it. They were our negotiators. They're the people we trusted to negotiate on our behalf. So where do we go from here? 03030 80 55 55. Robert and Carrick Fergus. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning.
Stephen, just a couple of wee points for you. Last week, I actually heard, you asked, have we been stroked? Of course we've
been stroked. That's a better way of putting it, isn't it?
We've been stroked, yes, we've been stroked, definitely, by both the British and the Irish governments. Last week, one of the financial experts was on talking about on a show that the government from Ireland actually promised us British money towards this new deal. And the other point I wanted to make was, pre-election, you'd done an interview with most of the party leaders and that, and you'd done an interview with Sinn Féin, and it was asked of the interviewer how a United Ireland would be funded, and they says that they would have to take decisions and they would raise the money, do different things. Well, they can't raise the money and they can't take the decisions to run one country. How are they meant to run two?
I just think, Robert, that you know, Julian Smith has promised the Nolan Show an interview, by the way. He's promised he will come in here and talk to you all, and fair play to the Secretary of State for doing so. And he knows, because I was tweeting him and he was responding about it while I was on holiday in America. I think he called me soft. Am I going soft? Well, I'm not, because the question for the NIO and for the Secretary of State is an easy one on behalf of you all. He looked us all in the eye and he told us to read his deal. And the inference, absolute inference in what he was saying, was read that deal and read the shopping list of promises you will get if your political parties go back into Stormont. So he absolutely inferred that the money would be there to pay for it. And now it's not. And meanwhile, on the other side of that, so he's got questions to answer. And then on the other side of that, what type of political acumen do we have if we have negotiators who agree everything but the money and then start crying afterwards that, oh, they're not sure if they're getting the money? They were our negotiators. Would you let them negotiate anything ever again for you?
Not at all. But here's another point, Stephen. Is it written down and saying as if it's been done on a contract anywhere? That's another thing. If it's been done on a contract, obviously Julian Smith or British government's obliged to give the money. If it's all written down in a contract.
But no, they didn't hammer. They looked at that deal. They noticed that the figures, the hard figures, were not within the deal. That's figures of money for us as a community. And they did the deal anyway. It's like walking into Charles Hurst or Mercedes garage or wherever, and basically saying, "I'm taking that car," and them giving you the keys to it, letting you drive off, and you not agreeing how much you're paying for it. Like, it's incredible what's happened.
Unbelievable, but I don't know, Stephen. We've been told lies over the years about everything. We were told about infrastructure. Even if we weren't out of the EU, we'd still be paying into the EU the $39 billion up until as such times as we do come out. Where's all the money we were promised from infrastructure from the EU that the British government and everybody else promised us? Where's it all? We haven't seen a wink of it.
Robert, thank you. Daniel Nixon, Belfast. Morning, Daniel.
Stephen, I'd just like to say about this talk about raising money from water charges, right? I mean, working class people all have the meters in. Automatically, they're prepaid meters for gas and electric. That's because they're looked on as being unreliable payers through direct debit. Now, whether that's true or not, that's the way the businesses do it. The private companies, that's the way they do it. That's so beforehand, well, before there was prepaid meters in, if somebody couldn't pay their gas or electric, they were brought to court and the judge arranged a payment plan so people could never be cut off, only in extreme circumstances. Now you cut yourself off if you can't pay for it. So see if they bring these water meters in, there's talk of it that comes in. Water meters are coming at the start, but know what they'll say? We can't get them to pay their direct debits, so we're going to have to put prepaid water cards in. I'm going to tell you something. People, they're working class, middle class even as well, they'll not accept it. They're just going to have to go and find money from somewhere else. And secondly, Stephen, see about these commissioners.
Or cut the costs from some of the promises. Be honest with us all. And say to us, OK, within that New Dawn, New Deal document, we promised you it, but now here's the things you're not getting. But we're all being left in this la-la land where we're not sure what's going to be prioritised. Like, are they seriously going to put an Ulster Scots commissioner and the money for an Ulster Scots commissioner above the education of some of our kids or our roads or whatever?
Stephen,
are they going to put an Irish language commissioner above that and then tell us they don't have enough money for our hospitals?
Well, Stephen, you have these equality commissioners and you have the Fair Employment and all that, and then you have ombudsmen for the prisons and the police and all. These are permanent posts that are paid for, right? But see these two commissioners, see this here, mate, this was just, they were just put there to get the deal across the line. These commissioners are temporary. See, once things are put in place and legislation is passed and the Irish language has been basically put in law, these commissioners is basically a front.
Do you know how much those two commissioners is costing you?
Much.
$140 million.
Well, they have to be temporary because they can't keep that up.
$140 million quid.
Have to be temporary, mate. You just have to. That's short term. They have to go. I mean, 5 years, 7 years, 10 years. They have to go because that's crazy.
And the other unanswered question, by the way, I was sitting in America, banging my head off the hotel bed at one stage, and there was nothing kinky going on. It was all about this.
Yeah.
But I was kind of thinking, there's another unanswered question. This so-called DUP veto that they're claiming they have over the Irish Language Commissioner, that an Irish Language Commissioner will not be able to set any standards without Arlene Foster agreeing to it. Well, can the DUP be open and honest with people as to what they're going to allow that Irish Language Commissioner to do and not do?
What
are the parameters? What's Arlene Foster going to sign off and not sign off?
It'll all be signed off. It'll all be signed off.
Well, let her say it then.
It'll all be signed off because it'll just go through with the commissioner, and then what happens is somebody will oppose or somebody will take it to court if there's an argument over it, and the court case will be put. They'll be enshrined the law through court and everything else. It's just to get the deal over the line and see all this talk about money not having enough. The only way you can bring extra money in this country is to get car companies to come in, computer companies come in, information technology. Well, these companies have to come into Northern Ireland and start.
And do you know what? And do you know what helps bring some of those companies in?
Infrastructure.
Exactly. So, are we going to prioritise our roads and our infrastructure and education? Are we going to have a skilled workforce?
Education.
And where's the money coming from? And is that money coming before or after an Ulster Scots and Irish Language Commissioner?
Well, Stephen, I said the other day about they're talking about bringing a border poll in here, right? I'm going to tell you something, and I know this in my heart. See, before they brought in Brexit, they didn't tell people really what they were voting for, and it lasted for 3 years, and the country was in dismay over it, right? See, before they bring a border poll in here, the British government's just going to tell people, see, if you vote yes to stay in the UK, this is what you're voting for. There's going to be changes in Northern Ireland. There's going to be taxes, water rates, everything's going to be brought in. and you're going to be voting for it. See, if you vote for to go to the south, the south's going to tell you there's going to be water rates brought in, there's going to be this brought in, there's going to be that brought in. If it's a United Ireland, people's going to be told exactly what they're voting for. So they're going to be caught between a rock and a hard place. They're going to have to accept change one way or the other, but it's not going to be imposed on the poor. It can't be. I can't have a meter, Stephen. A meter to start where you pay direct debit, and then once you're struggling with your direct debits because you're poor, I can't have a prepaid car put in the water. You can't do it, mate. Where you going to go?
Well, then there needs to be, now that we're over the very temporary honeymoon, this programme was criticised. There was a whole social media campaign, for goodness sake, criticising the Nolan Show for our negativity around the New Dawn new document, as if it's a journalist's job to be, positive and not probe. It's farcical.
Yep.
But now that we're over the honeymoon period of, goodness, the political parties are back working together, the more important thing, whoop the doop, that's great, but the more important thing is, are they delivering for people in Northern Ireland? Where's the money coming from? And what's the
jobs.
And what are the promises? And where's the money coming from? So
private
when
companies, when, where you get it.
Yeah, but when you have Sinn Féin ruling out water rates, ruling out tuition fees, they need to be asked a tough question beyond them begging the British government for the money.
Yep.
What's their idea of where it's coming from? Albert in Belfast next. Morning, Albert.
Good morning, Stephen. Stephen, it just shows how inept these people are, that they couldn't run anything, especially where it comes to Stormont. But look back to the 3 years when we had the government. They were telling us all we needed likes of infrastructure for the West Link, the A5, the A6. We just needed a minister. The money was there. But where was the money? And where's that money went to? And if you take the new money, that we're supposed to have got this £1 billion. What are they going to do when they spend it? How is the country going to go if they spend that over the next 3 or 4 years? In 4 years' time, what are they going to do?
Exactly.
And you said yourself there about Irish language and these commissioners, $140 million?
Yeah.
$140 million?
Yeah.
For them there. And let me say this.
And here's a question, Albert. Will there be more political uproar if the promise around Irish language and Ulster Scots commissioners wasn't delivered than there would be if citizens of this country sat on a waiting list for another year? And I put it to you that there probably would be. I put it to you that Irish language and Ulster Scots will come at the very top of the shopping list in Northern Ireland. And if there's a finite pot of money, it'll be other things that will not be delivered to the citizens of Northern Ireland among the shopping list of promises. That Julian Smith looked you all in the eye and promised you, and Arlene Foster and Michelle O'Neill and all of those other political leaders signed up to.
Well, let me say this, Stephen. The unionist and loyalist people didn't ask for an Ulster Scots commissioner or a British commissioner. Sinn Féin asked for Irish language, and they will make sure they will hold Arlene Foster to that deal, and they will make sure that the $140 million or whatever it is for Irish language will be done and will be taken out of the money. Sinn Féin will make sure that all Arlene wanted was back in the office, into the First Minister's office. That's all she wanted, because she never even came to the unionist or loyalist people and said what she was actually negotiating for on their behalf. What she done was she used Ulster Scots and the British Commissioner as a sop to Sinn Féin to give them Irish language. And they will make sure that they get that Irish language and they get the money for it. Whether it's forget about health, forget about education, forget about infrastructure, that will be the first priority from Sinn Féin is to get that in place.
Well, you don't know that.
Get that Irish language commissioner in place.
You don't know that, and we would need to put that to Sinn Féin.
I guarantee, Stephen.
And also, to be fair to Arlene Foster, there was widespread support for her deal within her own party, and I'll remind you that every other main political party in Northern Ireland also signed up to the deal. They're all in the executive.
Well, shame on them all. Shame on the DUP ones that voted to basically go back into government. Yes, we needed a government for health, education and other things. We didn't need, and we actually were on your show basically saying about Irish language, and a lot of people, even besides myself, were saying we shouldn't be spending money on Irish language. Stephen, over the last 10 years, Irish language has got something like £60 million.
There's a bigger point this morning.
Haven't got anything.
Albert, there's a bigger point this morning than Irish language and Ulster Scots. I'm going to bang on about it one more time. All of us, every single adult listening to this programme, and there are well over 100,000 people listening to this show right now, okay? Every single one of us in our adult life will have done some type of financial negotiation. Whether it is you get your windows cleaned, you don't get them cleaned before you say to the window cleaner, how much is that going to cost? Every single one of us who are employed, we do not take a job without getting our employer to tell us how much they're going to pay us. The political parties in Northern Ireland, the skilled negotiators that were acting on your behalf, walked in to this deal with the British government and didn't do that fundamental, basic thing of saying, how much money are you promising to give the people of Northern Ireland? Now, that's what they didn't do. Brian and Derry next. Morning, Brian.
Yes, good morning. Sorry, Stephen, excuse me. Good morning, Stephen. I would just like to turn around and say that was very big of the MLAs. They actually turn around and give back their £1,000 or give it to charity. Because you know why, Stephen? Because they know they'll get it back in expenses. They know that they're going to get that money. They're not going to lose out. They're going to put on each year for their big expenses, £30,000, £40,000, whatever it is.
Well, that's not true, because they get the same level of expenses that they're entitled to, whether they handed this money back or not. It's all about entitlement expenses.
If I go to work, I don't get expenses. I don't get pedal expenses to drive down to my factory. I don't get driving expense. I don't get pedal expenses to drive anywhere. They get it from the drive from their house. At the end of the day, all I'm turning around saying, they're talking about the SPADs. And unfortunately, my heart bleeds for them. They actually dropped their wages from 90,000 to 85. At the end of the day, do they give expenses on top of that, or is that capped at 85,000? They don't get no expenses. Now, answer me this too as well. Why can the MLA's wages not be capped? Capped, no expenses, no nothing. They have to work on that there. Yeah, expect people, hold on. Dummy turned around and told them in England. Julian Smith turned around and told them. Boris Johnson says, this is the day, take it or leave it. Why can't that be the same for the MLAs? They turn around and put themselves in that power.
When Julian Smith said to the politicians in Northern Ireland, this is the deal, take it or leave it, how on earth did not one politician in this country turn round to him and say, catch yourself on, are you seriously expecting us to agree a deal without any financial figures nailed down? Did he think all his Christmases had come home at once?
He did. Take it or leave it
without a financial figure associated with it, deal or no deal, and our lot say deal.
Stephen,
Mr. Murphy in North Yorkshire. Good morning, Mr. Murphy.
Mr. Nolan, thank you very much for having me on. I have connections with Northern Ireland, and I have one simple question to ask you. What exactly do you want?
We want the promises that have been made in that New Dawn document delivered. We want the promises made by the British government delivered on the ground in this country. Full stop.
But they didn't, Stephen. They didn't. The Secretary of State told you at the time of the agreement that you had to fund some of this money yourselves. Now, can I just say to you, and I don't mind at all, the public sector in Northern Ireland represents one-third of the total workforce. What I'd like to know is, what happened to the 11 billion that was paid out under the Barnett formula for the past 3 years, even though you didn't have a government? What happened to the 1.5 billion that you received under the supply agreement with the Conservative government? You don't pay any water rates, you know, no prescription charges, student fees are a third of the norm in the rest of GB, The bedroom tax that should have been introduced 3 years ago has been deferred. How long does the rest of the United Kingdom go on financing the money that you won't raise from the taxes that you should be raising? That's simply my question. Maybe I sound a bit harsh, but I do have connections with Northern Ireland, and I'd love to
know. Well, then
you
will understand that Northern Ireland has had a particular past, that there are special circumstances in Northern Ireland. There's a lot of healing. There is a lot of deprivation, and that, you know, yes, we get more than any other nation in terms of the money we get from the Barnett Fund.
20% more to Stephen.
But you don't think we deserve it? Is that what you're saying?
Probably yes, because of what's happened over the last 20 years. But would you not agree with me that there comes a time when the good people of Northern Ireland have to stand up and say, we have got to paddle our own canoe and we have to justify the money that we're getting? Surely you can't be a total exception to the rest of the UK when there's no water rates, no prescription charges, no bedroom tax, no nothing. There comes a time when Northern Ireland has to be able to stand on its own two feet, accepting that the Barnett formula will give you £11,000 million.
Well, do you know what? That might all be fine, but that is not what Julian Smith, the Secretary of State and the NIO, were saying to us when he was encouraging us all to encourage our politicians to take his deal. It's his deal. His name was all over it. It's the Secretary of State now being lauded as the man that's got a political deal in Northern Ireland. Well, within that deal were a list of promises.
Well, all I'm saying to you, Stephen, is this. If you think that a Secretary of State, a UK Secretary of State, is going to put down in exact detail the amount of money that you're going to get under this agreement.
That was for our politicians to ensure.
I think you've been slightly naive, because I can tell you something, and maybe you won't agree with me, but successive British governments have not always delivered on the promises that they have made to Northern Ireland, not in the last 20 years, but in the last 50 years. And I think you will accept that yourself.
When the DUP was propping up, Theresa May, the DUP went back in and out, getting more and more hard commitment with numbers associated with it for Northern Ireland before they did the confidence and supply deal. On this occasion, they knew there was no money nailed down, and they just went into the deal anyway. Jim Nixon, Newton Orange. Morning, Jim.
Good morning. Glad to see you back, Stephen.
Nice to talk to you, Jim. Go ahead.
I'm talking about money, but in a different aspect. The nurses, consultants, doctors, etc., in the Ulster Hospital in Donald all have to pay for their parking. 1 mile away in the Stormont Estate, MLAs, their staff, civil servants, get free parking. Where is the equality in that?
It's a very good point. It's a really good point.
I think everybody that works in the health service should be lobbying their MLA to get either parking charges removed from staff in hospitals or introduced in all government buildings.
So start asking the MLAs to pay their way, have equality that way, and they can pay their way when they go up for their free parking at Stormont. We'll be free anymore. If they're charging nurses, then charge them.
Well, the MLAs expect nurses and doctors to pay for their parking.
I hear you.
So there is a big gap in equality here in public service employees.
Jim, good point. Thank you. Noel in Belfast. Morning, Noel.
Good morning, Steve. Glad to hear you back. Kevin, a bit of a grief. My issue is here, with that £1,000 that was released after their pay raise, what department released that information? Now, that proves to me that the civil servants have now broken away from the MLA and what been told to do and release.
No, they haven't. This was all done completely as it should have been. This is a proposal.
I know, but we're releasing the information now and embarrassing the MLAs, and the civil servants are going on strike on Friday for more money. So I think it's a bit of a revenge from the civil servants.
It's not. It's not.
Now, how do you know?
Because I know how it works. I know that this
is... How it works? So what department released the information concerning the £1,000 pay raise? Now, there must have been somebody signed it off. Arlene Foster and Michelle O'Neill had said, no, don't be putting that out because that's going to be negativity towards us.
Well...
And they had a way and done it.
Well, the bit that, with all due respect, Noel, you're not getting is that this £1,000 proposal was made by an arm's length body.
It would have been inappropriate for Michelle O'Neill or indeed Arlene Foster to get
involved in that at all.
But the point I'm making is, if the MLAs had the same position they had 3 years ago...
Anyway, you're doing exactly what I was saying this morning is the smaller point. You're talking about the £1,000 increase that's going to be turned down anyway by these MLAs, and, you know, maybe they're getting their way. You're talking about them turning down £1,000, and Northern Ireland is currently missing billions.
I know, but... What
billions,
point?
Not millions. Billions of pounds we're missing.
But I'm going to make a suggestion to you yourself.
Here we go.
Even though that's not... Why don't you apply for being one of the advisors? You know...
Well, I'll tell you why.
I'll tell you why.
Because I love this job I'm doing on your behalf.
No, but I'm just saying, you could do it part-time.
And I'm not smart enough. I'll tell you what, I've never, ever in my entire life done a negotiation with anybody, from getting my windows cleaned to getting my feet done to getting my hair cut, anything, without saying to someone, let's nail down the price before I make an agreement. And that's exactly what our lot have done. Enough. My blood pressure's gone up already and I'm only bloody back.